Good morning. Happy New Year. Yeah, I believe it's important that we begin the new year the right way. And so I began the new year this morning by pulling out my phone and getting on my Bible app and beginning my reading plan for this next year. My plan will take me through the whole Bible over the next year. And I've done that for the past several years. And it's just really good to start the year, but start each day in God's Word. And so I would encourage you to do that. If you haven't already done that today, go ahead and find a plan. Choose something where you can be in God's Word every day. You don't have to read the Bible, the whole Bible through in a year, although it's very doable. But I would encourage you to do that and get your year started, get your each day started off the right way in God's Word. And that's kind of been the thinking of our preaching team as we begin the new year, is that we want to really focus on God's Word. And so to do so, as Bill mentioned, we're doing something a little bit different this morning with today's message. You're going to hear from four of us on our preaching team, Jacob, myself, Jacob, Seth, and Rick. Sorry, Bill, we're not including you in here. But I was worried. I've been worried all morning about this because you have four preachers. Four preachers. I mean, we may not get done until New Year's Day 2024, especially now that we don't have a service after this. You know, we had to kind of stay in time the first three services, but now, you know, hands are off, you know, gloves are off. I'm just warning you now. So when I'm done, I'm going to head out of here and I'll come check on you next week and make sure that everybody's doing okay with Jacob and Seth and Rick. But no, We're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna share the sermon this morning, but we're gonna do so. We're going to each share what our favorite verse of scripture is this morning. And later today, we would love for you to get on our Facebook page, go to your Facebook page, and tell us what your favorite verse of scripture is. I have the honor of going first today, and so I'm going to share with you what my favorite verse of scripture is. My favorite Bible verse became my favorite verse when I was in Bible college. And I was studying Greek. If you remember, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and I was required to take 3 years of Greek language in my undergraduate studies. When I studied this verse, particularly in Greek, I saw this verse in a whole new light, and it took on great personal meaning for me, and it became my favorite verse. My favorite verse comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. There Paul writes, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This verse speaks to the redemptive work of God through his Son, Jesus, in our lives. The word that stands out in this verse is that word workmanship. It's not a word that we use very often. It's a pretty unique word. And as I studied this word in my Greek class, I learned that this is the Greek word poema. And that may sound a little bit familiar to you because it's where we get our word poem from, poema, poem. The word means creation. It means a work of art. It means a masterpiece. I was still relatively new to the church, a new Christian. When I went to Bible college, I didn't start going to church, didn't become a Christian until my sophomore year in high school. So just a couple years later, there I was in Bible college. And so I remembered very well what my life was like before I became a Christian. My life was a mess. It was not pretty. And I saw from this verse, Ephesians 2:10, that when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and gave my life over to him, that God took away my old life, and he gave me a new life. He took what was a mess, and he began making it into a masterpiece. Time and perspective have only given me a greater appreciation for what God has done in my life. The saying is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. My life may not look like a work of art or a masterpiece to you, but knowing what it looked like before Jesus, it certainly looks like a masterpiece to me. And most importantly, it looks like a masterpiece to God. This verse gives me hope, and it's a hope that I feel have felt compelled to share with others over the last 30 years since that time in Bible college. Jesus Christ has the power to completely transform your life. God doesn't want to remodel your life. He doesn't want to simply improve your life and just make it a little bit better. He wants to give you a whole new life. When a person places their faith in Jesus, God, like an artist, takes the canvas of your life and he wipes it clean. And he begins creating his work of art that is going to be your new life. This verse continues by telling us that God is at work in our lives for a purpose. We are his workmanship. We are his new creation. We are his work of art. We are his masterpiece to do good works. Our salvation is not achieved by our good works. It's not achieved by anything that we've done, but by the work of Christ on the cross. We have been saved not by our good works, but in order that we may do good works, reflecting the goodness of God and his Son, Jesus. This verse inspires me to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Son of God came to this world. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on a cross for the sins of mankind. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. All who place their faith in Jesus will be saved. All who place their faith in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. All who place their faith in Jesus will receive eternal life. All who place their faith in Jesus will have a new life in Christ, a life that God creates and considers to be his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. This is my favorite verse.
Good morning. Happy New Year. My name is Jacob. If I have not got the pleasure of meeting you yet, I'm honored to serve here in the young adult ministry, and I'm just thankful to be here. So my favorite verse, I kind of cheated. I chose three. It comes from the book of Psalms. If you go to Psalm 121, specifically those first three verses, it reads, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." So to know why that verse is my favorite verse, I have to take you down a little journey into my testimony. So I didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to church very often as a kid. We'd go every Sunday. Most of the time, if we did go, it was Easter or it was Christmas or something like that. We didn't really go to church a whole lot. And when we did, three of us would go begrudgingly and one would go very excitedly. And that saint was my mother. If you've ever met my mother, you know she's probably the patron saint of excited. She's just excited and high energy, and I'm so thankful for that. But I didn't get it. I didn't get it. When we would go, I thought it was just something we had to do to just make mom happy and then go home. My parents talked about God and they talked about Jesus a lot and they believed in them, but I didn't get it. I thought prayer was just something you had to do so that you could eat, maybe to let your food cool down a little bit. And I thought God was just this big thing in the sky that created us just so we could argue with scientists about evolution. He didn't care about us. He created us and he left. And I thought Jesus was just this guy with long hair, kind of a hippie vibe, sunshine and rainbows, that people liked him a whole lot, so they put him on his wall. That was it. And if we're being honest, a lot of the time I didn't even believe they were real. So fast forward till I'm about 16 years old. I've been listening to heavy metal and hardcore music for a long time at this point, but it's at that point as well. And my buddy comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, this is my favorite band. We should listen to them." Okay, sure. So he shows me this band called For Today, and I'm like, okay, I kind of jive with this, pretty good. And he's like, "Well, they're coming soon, so let's go see them." So we did. We went and saw them, and For Today was such a special band. They had the most Holy Spirit-inspired lyrics I think I've ever read. Their music hits your soul in a way that I can't even begin to explain. So seeing them live, I was not prepared for this at all. I'm used to these shows where people are acting goofy and being silly. You know, they're sweating and pushing each other around. But I wasn't used to the level of energy and passion that came from the band being received back in the same way. High energy environment, such amazing passion and connection between the vocalist of that band and the people in the crowd. And I didn't understand. And then he stops it all in the middle and starts preaching. I'm like, that's not right. And he starts talking about a God that isn't just up here in the ether where I can't get to him. He's talking about a God that's right here who wants to know me, who knows me already, who wants me. And then he starts talking about a Jesus who's not sunshine and rainbows, but he was actually not very well liked. And he was strong and he was powerful and he was dangerous. And it completely changed everything. Completely changed how I thought about Christianity. So I did what any 16-year-old would do at that time. And so I started asking my friends who I knew were Christian. Thank God I had some Christian friends in my life. The one that I talked to specifically was Chris Bareford. Some of you guys may know him. His parents are back there. And so I asked him, I said, I know you're into this whole Jesus thing. I'm kind of feeling it. I kind of want to know what it's about. So what would you recommend I do? And so he gave me two pieces of advice. He said, go to church. And he said, pick up your Bible, open to a random page, and start reading. Now, I'd like to make a disclaimer. He and I have talked about this. We have both decided that that is not good advice. That worked one time, and it was perfect. But I don't think we'd recommend that anymore. And I had this little orange New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs that I got at my sister's graduation just before that, coincidentally. And so I just opened it up. And this was the first thing I saw. And I read this verse. And it gave me a place. At the time, I was dealing heavily with depression and anxiety. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to put things I needed to put. I didn't know what to do. And this verse gave me that place. He gave me a place to put my guilt, my shame, my depression, my anxiety, my life, my identity, and my sin. And that God loved me so much that I could ask him for help wherever, and that he wasn't going to let my foot move, and he wasn't going to sleep on me. And that God loved me so much that he sent his son down to die so that I could put my stuff on him as he dies. And so I love that verse. And I love that verse so much, I got it tattooed on my arm. So that every single day I can ask myself, where does my help come from? And I can answer, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that he's not going to let my foot slip. He's not going to fall asleep. He's going to be there for me. And so every day, every year, sometimes every hour, I have to remind myself, where does your help come from? And that's why this verse is my favorite verse. Thank you.
God's people said amen. Thank you, Jacob. There are 66 books in the Bible. If you know a few of them and you know all of the verses that form together both the Old and the New Testament. So you have 39 in the Old Testament. You have 27 in the New Testament. And about 300 years after Jesus, there were a group of people that got together and they sat down and they decided for you which ones stayed in and which ones stayed out. That's a big job, because when you think, well, how can I trust what the Bible says? If a group of men got together to decide which ones were in and which ones stayed out. 66 different books in the Bible. The way I do that is my favorite verse, and it's from the book of Hebrews. Now, normally when someone says Hebrews, They'll preface it by saying the Hebrew writer, because we're not quite sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. A lot of us grew up in Bible college and preacher's kid, and in the church we sort of assumed that it was written by the Apostle Paul. Because right there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says this about our faith. That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's always a challenge, and I mentioned this at the last service, that 2023 actually may be your most difficult year. And I don't say that to cause you any undue concern, but it is to say that we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about today. 4 months ago, we were praying for a young mom that we've known for about 10 years, a mom of 7 kids, diagnosed with breast cancer, died from breast cancer about 4 weeks ago. You look at that and you say, well, where was God when I was going through that? Did you hear the prayer, God? Did you get the message that our family, their family, your life, your situation might get even more difficult than it has been in the past? And so what do you do? What is it that you hold on to? And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: you have confidence, you're sure, and you're sure even though you can't see it. Verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that is why it was not made from anything that was made that was visible. And each time I look out into the starry heavens and I realize how big this universe is, and then I recognize how big my God has to be that not just created that universe but knows every star, planet of that universe. But then the scripture says he knows every hair on your head. He knows every concern that's in your heart. He knows everything that's going to happen in your future, and yet gives you the freedom to choose to love him and love him alone. Then I come back to this idea. Well, how do I know? How can I be sure? Where is my confidence? Because I serve a God that is bigger than what I see. I'm a little bit different from Jacob. He mentioned heavy metal music. Heavy metal music when I was a kid was two guys lifting a refrigerator and the noise they made when they did that. When I was a kid, the phone was attached to the wall. When I was a kid, there was a wire that went from the television that was down in the basement up a pole that was attached to a antenna. And some days, my dad would say, now, get up there and move that antenna, and I'll holler it from the basement whether or not we can see the picture. No, move it a little bit further. Move it a little bit back. When I was a kid, we had this thing in the medicine cabinet called the McCure-Comb. I don't know if you remember that. This is going to hurt me a whole lot more than the person is going to be putting it on me. So that as kids, when we'd come in with a scratch or whether there was a cut, Mom would go get this McCure-Comb out of the cabinet. They've since taken that off the shelf because there's mercury in it. And she would put that on my hand or on my knee, and she'd get ready. Before she did, she'd say, now get ready because you need to blow. And this is what I remember as a kid, going because the pain of the McCure-Comb was even greater sometimes than the hurt. I realize that going through life and being in ministry, you're called to some of the most unusual situations and places that you could imagine you could be. Rick's going to share a little bit about that. There are moments when you're going to do that. You're going to go, because the pain. And where does your help come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. And by faith, we are sure and we are certain, even though we can't see it, that we have a God that loves us. And a God that has a plan for us. And that plan, as you've heard everyone from this stage today say it, that plan is Jesus. Amen?
Have you been blessed today? And I've heard these multiple times today, and they are a blessing to me, and I hope a blessing to you. We just wanted to think of a little something different this year. The four of us were off campus working on the 2023 preaching plan. You know, we work on our sermon series for the year, and we were working on that. And before we even started, I said, you know, for devotion, you know, as we get started today, everybody tell me your favorite verse and then why. And then went around the room and got all four of us. And at the end of it, I went, that was awesome. I said, we can go home right now, and it was a blessing, you know. And I said, you know, we need to find a way to share that with our church family. And so we started thinking about the holidays, and you know, with Christmas last Sunday and New Year's today, you know, we didn't even know if anybody'd be here today, you know what I mean? And so we thought that'd be a fun thing to do, just a little bit different. And so I hope you've been blessed by us spending a little time talking about what is precious to each of us. I share with you often what my favorite verse is, and so some of you probably already know it. Mine comes from the words of Jesus as he's teaching about what it means to be a follower, one of his followers. And he shares in John chapter 10, he shares that, you know, there's this fundamental choice that every person on the planet has. And that's, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to let influence your life? And it's one or the other. And he says this, and what is my favorite verse, John 10:10, he says, the thief, that's one of those folks that people listen to. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I grew up with the King James Version. We always says, I came to have life. I came to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. I love that. More abundantly. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Every one of our stories, the four of us, our stories, everybody in this room, we all have different stories. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, that's something that my brothers and I grew up in a Christian home. We didn't have the pressure of being preacher's kids like Seth did. I was a deacon's kid, and all of the shenanigans that deacon's kids get into are usually learned from the preacher's kids, you know. So that's the bringing up that I had. Grew up in a Christian home. It was not a perfect home, far from a perfect home, but it was a Christian home. Faith was always positively promoted by both my mother and my father, you know, in the home that I grew up in. Church involvement was not an option for my brothers and me. My mother would often say, we were so involved in church and stuff at the church. My mom would say that we could all get in her Chevy Nova, and it would get from Chamberlain Farms to the church on autopilot. You know, it just went so often. It knew how to get there without even anyone driving. My parents encouraged spiritual growth, not just in church, but church camp and retreats and Christ and Youth Conference. Fairmount was my home church. I don't know if you knew, you probably knew that. Some of you may not. This is my home church. And the amount of instruction and encouragement and spiritual expression that I received was instrumental in building a deep and real faith. I accepted faith like many of my church friends did. I accepted faith early on. And on Easter Sunday at the age of 9, Mr. Wilson, our preacher then here at Fairmount, Mr. Wilson baptized me and Steve Beasley, Barry Breer, Wayne Currier, and Robin Martin. All five of us were baptized on Easter Sunday morning. A life journey of faith was beginning. Now, most of my peers who were outside of Fairmount, most of my friends who didn't go to Fairmount, they were all still pretty much church kids. Now, they might only go occasionally, but I mean, most of my friends were Christian friends. And so I was never pushed to really question my beliefs. I was never really pushed to question the Christian practices that I love so much. So it wasn't odd for me to be the only kid at a party not drinking. It wasn't odd for me to be the only one who didn't use language that everybody else used. It wasn't odd to them that I prioritized church involvement over many other things that I could have been involved in. No one ever questioned those choices. Nobody ever made me feel guilty for being a follower of Jesus. Growing up in suburban Richmond, Roy and Ruth provided for me and my brothers a very comfortable life. We had a stay-at-home mom who could pretty much cater to all the things my brothers and I did. Two cars in the driveway. Vacation every year to Virginia Beach, Disney World, Niagara Falls. It was a comfortable lifestyle. I recognize it now. It was an affluent lifestyle. When it came time to consider a career, I was teetering. I was a senior at Henrico High School. I was teetering between law or ministry. I felt called into ministry, but I had a guidance counselor who thought that going into ministry was wasting my education. So I was in this quandary of what to do. Thankfully, I had a friend, another Fairmounter, Becky Currier. She was attending Milligan College. Milligan College is a Christian liberal art university that Fairmount has supported for years, still supports to this day. And students can go there and be exposed to a great variety of disciplines, all kinds of things, and then decide what kind of career you want to form. So I knew I could go there, experience lots of different things, and make a choice. And I did that very thing. And early on, really, in my time in Milligan, I chose ministry for my career. I chose ministry for my life. That's where I met Betsy, and we've formed this life of ministry now. But I'm here to say today, East Tennessee changed everything. Milligan had lots of service groups that would go out from the college and go do various things around the community there, out into the rural areas. And I was in one service group that would go into the hills, and we would minister to the poorest of the poor, folks that I didn't even know existed in America growing up in Henrico County. We'd have church services in backyards filled with junk and burning trash. I would sit in a dirt floor kitchen of some old person sharing my faith with them. But what I discovered over and over and over again in those places is that I kept meeting poor people who were closer to Jesus than I was. I had it all. Every need I ever had was met. My mother would send care packages every month, and they'd be filled with goodies and news clippings of things going on here in Richmond and stuff going on with UVA basketball. And she'd send this little piece of paper called a check, and she would give me a little spending money that I could go to the Burger King and buy 500 Whoppers a week or whatever. Every need that I had, I had it all. All my needs were met, and these people had nothing. Except they had Jesus. And they had everything. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Since leaving Milligan, I've ministered in pretty rough neighborhoods in urban Louisville. We've ministered in government housing in Corning, New York, the slums of Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and the absolute destitution of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. In every one of those places, I saw the same thing I saw in Appalachia. They had nothing except they had Jesus. And they had everything. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You can be wealthy. You can be affluent. You can have a great job. You can have a perfect family. You can have cars, boats, vacations. You can have an enviable life. But if you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. Jesus came to give us life, and he came to give us the things that matter most: grace, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, hope. The list of his blessings is endless. And we don't just have those things enough, like, yep, I got enough of those. No, he says we have them abundantly. We have them overflowing. We our cup overfloweth. He blesses us with so much. I don't know about you, but our house, we still have lots of Christmas goodies. You still got lots of Christmas goodies around your house? I mean, they're just like overflowing with Christmas goodies. We still got pound cake. We still got candy covered nuts. We still got chocolate covered peanuts. We have these chocolate covered coffee beans that I'm telling you, if you eat a small handful of those, you'll be awake for 6 days. They're amazing. Amazing, these things. Our house is overflowing with Christmas goodies, an abundance of Christmas goodies. But I'm telling you, they'll all be gone this week. They'll run out. They'll run out this week. The goodness of God will never run out of your life. Ever. And that is the message we need to hear. It is the message that this lost world needs to hear, because the thief wants to rob them of all good things. But Jesus wants to give them all good things. Abundant things. Not an abundance of stuff. It's not about stuff. It's an abundance of the things that matter most. Who in your world needs to hear that today? What's your favorite verse? Chris challenged you, and I finished today with that same challenge to consider what your favorite verse is. If you're on social media, put that on social media today. You know, just put the verse, or if you want to put a couple sentences of testimony, that'll bless people as well. If you're not on social media, find somebody to share it with today. Just tell them that, you know, in the car or at lunch, or I don't know, pick up the phone and call them. I don't know, whatever. But people need to hear that. They need to hear how God's word has changed your life. You know, next Sunday we're going to begin a sermon series on spiritual disciplines. Our church, our leadership, a lot of our Bible studies have been talking this past year about revival. You know, post-pandemic, you know, the church needs reviving and the community needs reviving. The community needs Jesus. The country needs you. The world needs Jesus. We've been talking a lot about that. Revival will never begin in this world until it begins with me. Until it begins with you. And revival begins by being committed to those disciplines in which we are in tune to the Holy Spirit active in our lives every day. And that begins by being in God's Word. And as Chris said earlier, I want to challenge you today to be in His Word every single day. You don't have to read through the whole Bible in a year. That's an awesome thing. Chris does that. I do that. I'm doing that this year. That might be your thing. It could just be reading a verse a day or finding a plan on the Bible app or something to get you in the Word every single day. You will change. This church will change. And I pray this world will change. Today, as we come to, we're going to worship just a little bit more. I'm just going to ask you to just commit yourself to walking a closer walk with Jesus this year. I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to being in His Word every day. I'm going to be up here worshiping with you. If you need to talk about a decision, I'd be happy to talk with you about that today. But everyone in this room, everyone in this church today is challenged to walk closer with Him. Let's stand. Let's worship some more. Let's stand.